I am your host, Andrew D. White, and it's a beautiful Sunday, March the 4th, one day before the by-election in Northwest St. Andrew. I would like to welcome all our listeners to this 1 hour of vigorous discourse and critical discussion, all for a better Jamaica. For those of you who would like to share, please call us if you're in Jamaica at 343-4913. And if you're calling from overseas, 239-444-8161. Once again, if you're in Jamaica, the number is 343-4913. And if you are overseas, the number is 239-444-8161. Volney L. Barrett represented some of the best qualities that we would want in our young men. Right? Articulate, respectful, humble, and just an all-around decent human being. I have never met Volney, but I was invited to join what was then Talk Jamaica Radio, now One Radio Dotlink family, by executive producers Sanjay Lewis and Volney Barrett about almost 2 years ago. And in my interactions with Volney, I found, first of all, Volney had a pre-existing condition and he never complained. He never adopted the posture of woe is me or why is me. He was always hopeful. He was always optimistic. I spoke to Volney on Sunday, and he was in church as he normally is. Last week, Sunday, praising his God, making a joyful noise to his God. And I called him because I wanted to tell him that I was not able to host the show last week, Sunday. And I did not realize that this would now be the last time I would be talking to Volney. On Wednesday, I was shocked. I still have not processed the fact that Volney is no longer with us. I have made no comment on Facebook, which is the medium through which Volney and I and the other Talk Jamaica Radio, you know, One Radio Dotlink family would exchange ideas and thoughts. Because this one hit me, listeners. Volney was 32. Volney had a vision or a concept for Talk Jamaica that there could be hosts who from different political views, the main political parties, JLP, PNP, who would debate the difficult issues and share ideas, but all with the appreciation that we would be respectful and tolerant of each other's views. And when I was invited to host my show, The Advocate, on OneRadio.link, I was very flattered to be a part of this kind of discourse. And Volney wanted a different kind of Jamaica, a different kind of politics. I think that's what, in my interaction with him, that is what I got from him. That he wanted a different kind of politics, the way how we practice politics and good governance in Jamaica. I will miss him. I consider him not only a colleague, but a friend. And my thoughts and prayers are with his family and his friends, especially his mother. My thoughts and prayers are with them at this difficult time. I know it's rough. And I know it's hard, but listeners, hosts of OneRadio.link, we deserve to honor, or Volney's memory deserves to be honored by us continuing to ask the difficult questions, to fetter out the news and bring to book whoever or whomever do not practice the best tenets of accountability and good governance and transparency in our body politic and in just Jamaican society overall. But most of all, we owe it to Volney to be balanced in our approach, to be respectful of each other, and to have a kind of camaraderie, if I could use that word, to say that even though we may disagree on how we would get to where we want Jamaica to get to, we may disagree on the path to be taken. We must disagree in a respectful way, always remembering that we are one Jamaica. Walk good, Volney. I will miss you, my friend. After the break, I will review the news that was this week, the week in review.
Them try clip we wings, somehow we can't fly out. But when we there, yeah, nothing nice like Jamaica. Roast breadfruit and banana. Under the tree.
Style is what you need. All the latest male clothes. Come to Trademark and you see. High-end fashion guaranteed. The rules they don't apply. When you're swagging, don't be shy. We've got all you need and more. Trademark Outfitters.
Located at 11 South Avenue, Kingston 10. Call them at 649-0417.
Say you no be practice, fi eat parrot fish, cause of them clean the coral reef there. Jamaica listen to the safety parrot fish, cause of them bring the sand from we beach them. Yeah. Whether you are the buyer, seller, or the fisherman, say you can help save our island. Do not bring no parrot fish, come as dry land. Fisherman, put away your hook and your nylon. Make we stop try erode the soil of save the parrot fish.
Brought to you by Sandals Resorts, the Jamaica Observer, and Rainforest Seafoods.
For all your signs, tinting, printing, and graphic needs, visit Advanced Signs and More. They're located at 11 Lewis Street, Savannah Lamar, Westmoreland. Call them today at 918-0945 or 381-1960. Email advanced.signs@hotmail.com. Advanced style, advanced look, advanced quality, advanced signs. The time brought to you by Advanced Signs is...
It's 6:15.
Me love Jamaica, me nah sell out. Them try clip we wings, some we can't
back
fly
to the advocate on oneradio.link. I'm your host, Andra D. White, and you may call in on 343-4913 to add your voice to the discussion. Listeners, a couple of news items caught my attention this past week, and I want to share them with you. And the first is that in the St. Elizabeth Parish Court earlier this week, a 99-year-old pensioner was granted $20,000 bail on a bench warrant for his arrest because he did not turn up to court to answer for property tax charges. And I wonder, listeners, what objectives of the justice system are being served by granting a 99-year-old man $20,000 bail, someone who can't even afford to pay his property taxes, right? Cannot afford to pay his property taxes, but you're granting him $20,000 bail. Now, the gentleman's explanation was that, I think his name is Mr. Everton, was that he was sick. He lives alone, he's sick, and there was no way for him to get word to the court about the fact that he would be absent. And there's so many issues that arise out of this one case. For me, the most fundamental is that, and this is me speaking from a justice or a legal background, that in this case, justice was not tempered with mercy. I am sure that the judge, in his or her discretionary remit, could have let him go on his own. Explain to me, where is he going to run to? Where is that 99-year-old man going to run to? But it also raises larger issues about how we treat our old people, our pensioners, our golden agers. It raises issues about our emotional intelligence and empathy when someone from the tax office would not do the due diligence, or even the prosecutor. The prosecutor must have known the age of the person. And if you don't, shame on you. Because it would seem to me that your homework was not done and the proper research was not done before you come to court, whomever it is that carried it to the courts. Or to have known that this is a 99-year-old person and should have made the proper checks, the necessary checks, to find out why. I mean, this grieved me now, listeners. It grieved me. So explain to me now, the 99-year-old man cannot find money to pay property taxes. Where am I going to find money for bail? I have reached out to certain individuals. I hope that this will be resolved in the quickest way possible. I think this is a disgrace. I think all persons involved ought to be ashamed of themselves. I really do. And furthermore, and now just talking about good governance and how we do things. If this is not in place, and I'm working on this because I don't know, so I'm making up an assumption and making a recommendation. If after you're 70 years old and you own property, depending on the value of the property, are you telling me that you don't get a discount? I don't even want to use the word discount. But there should be a reduction in the amount that you pay for property taxes. And again, I said depending on the amount, because you know how some of us Jamaicans are. All you do is you go in your own property value, that's say $30-40 million. You just put it in your daddy's name or your mommy's name or grandma, or you know, soon won't be with us much longer, so that you don't pay the property taxes. But if you're at a certain band, income band or pensioner band, or the property is valued at a certain amount, you should be paying reduced tax rates if you're not paying it now. So that would be my recommendation. But we really deal with our pensioners and our old people in this country in a most disgraceful manner. Because, listeners, I bring your attention to a 74-year-old woman in St. Thomas who was found with her throat slashed, her hands tied, and her underwear down around her legs. And it is assumed that she was raped. A 74-year-old woman. I am hoping that the police have done the necessary checks and the necessary investigations, including collecting DNA and fingerprints. And this is another 74-year-old woman, pensioner, who lived on her own. Are you telling me that she don't have any family members? And maybe she's a sprightly 74-year-old, you know. Maybe she is. But these things, they hurt my heart, listeners. They really do. And the monster, because it's the animal or animals that did this to this old lady, to this grandma, must be swiftly brought to justice and must be made to feel the full brunt of the justice of the law. The full brunt. Moving on, listeners, minority leader in the St. Catherine Municipal Council, the JLP's Owen Palmer, councillor for the Homestead Division, was among two persons killed in a motor vehicle crash at around 3 a.m. this morning. The other fatality is 50-year-old Gideon Jimmy Thompson. I would like to send my condolences to the Jamaica Labour Party and the families, the friends and families of both Mr. Palmer and Mr. Thompson. Still on crime And because I think that this is telling, I want to bring your attention, listeners, to an article in today's Gleaner, which says registered robots. Taxi companies provide space for white plate vehicles to operate. With concerns mounting about the number of women being abducted and raped by criminals posing as cab drivers, licensed taxi companies are adding to the disorder on the nation's streets by allowing operators of private motor cars to register with their services and offer charter rides to members of the public. This is putting members of the public at risk as cars, which are not registered to carry public passengers, hackney carriage, and which do not have red license plates indicating that they are taxis, are often dispatched when calls are made to these companies. Persons who take these unregistered taxis would find themselves not covered by insurance if they are injured while traveling in them. The Transport Authority is well aware of this illegal activity, and with more than 10 taxi companies registered in the corporate area alone, has warned that these entities could face criminal sanctions if they continue. The operators may not have passed the criminal background check, they may not have public passenger vehicle insurance, may not have a valid driver's license, and may be a part of a criminal gang, Petra Keane Williams, communication manager at the Transport Authority, told the Sunday Gleaner. The Transport Authority is extremely concerned about the practice of hackney carriage companies dispatching white plate vehicles to commuters to provide public passenger transport. She warned that persons found to be operating private motor vehicles as hackney carriages will be prosecuted by the police or Transport Authority and the motor vehicle seized in accordance with the law. Really? Let me go further. Because you're playing, our policymakers and the relevant authorities are playing. Yes, I agree. Seize the taxes, but also withdraw the license for them to operate. Withdraw it for 2 years. Let me tell you, the other nine, you do it to the first one, Miss Williams. I recommend to you and guarantee you that the others will fall in line forthwith. Yes, pull it and make sure that the persons who that particular company and the directors cannot get a license to operate hackney carriages on for 2 years. On a joking this thing out. Because what you're doing is putting the commuting public at risk. That's what you're doing by you not coming down hard on these lawbreakers. Right? Now, last week, and let me tell you, let me show you how we're indiscipline, you know. And we seek to justify our indiscipline. Right? Listen to this, listeners. Last week, a manager at one of the more popular taxi companies defended its policy of accepting private motor vehicle operators into its fleet. He argued that despite the law, yeah, because to hell with the law. I mean, the law is not a shackle. Money a for make, a man a for hustle, a man a for eat a food, so what? That's how the thing set. The company has to employ white plate vehicles to keep its business afloat. The Transport Authority has its business and we have a business to run. We have to do what we have to do because we have bills to pay. Same thing me just say. Yeah, man. I know nothing. We have to do. We have to make our money, said the manager whose identity is being withheld. Right? According to the manager, the company implements its safety checks, including that the vehicle should be no more than 10 years old. Right? What? The vehicle? So are the vehicle going to abduct people and rape women and rape them? But admitted that it does little background checks on the drivers. We try to, but it is not something anybody can do because even the police are getting bad. How do you mean by nobody can do it? How about that they should have police records and it should be updated every 6 months? How about that? Listeners, let me say something to you now. You see, when you call these taxi companies on time and Express and all of the other ones, them whose name escapes me, and El Shaddai and all of them, and they send a white plate taxi, just don't go and tell them why. And say, no, I'll call someone else that will send me a red plate. Simple. Simple, you know. It's the law of supply and demand. If you guys refuse to go into a white taxi, do you think that the taxi companies will send them? Logically, think about it. Is we have the power, you know? Is we have the power? So this nonsense that this taxi, that this manager at one of the taxi companies are the taxi companies are saying about, we have to do what we have to do because we have bills to pay. It's nonsense. Basically, what he's saying is, me not respect the law, me have to do what me have to do, and to heck with everything. It cannot be allowed to stand. Right? A man have to try to survive. What do you expect? The road license are issued at a certain time each year, so not everybody is going to be able to get the road license in time to get the red plate. This is coming from the manager of another prominent taxi company. Really? In the meantime, the traffic police are struggling to clamp down on these taxis, which operate as part of companies. According to the police, these vehicles are usually not overloaded and the drivers do not stop to solicit passengers, so it is difficult to identify them as they have the cloak on anonymity provided by taxi companies. All right. Listeners, listen to me. Come, let me sort this out, because that's what we do on The Advocate. This is not rocket science. It is not. Right? First thing. You, as a commuting public, as a consumer, you have a choice. When you call for a cab and you see it's not a red plate and the company's logo is not written up on it, you don't know it, you're not getting in it, you call back the company and said, I called so-and-so XYZ company, taxi company, and I expected to see XYZ company on the car with a red plate, because if I go in and I'm meeting an accident and anything happens to me, or God forbid I die, myself nor my family, now I have nothing to forget. That is what it boils down to, self-preservation. That's the first thing. Secondly, and listeners, you have the power. Trust me. Secondly, for those, Miss Williams, the manager, communications manager at the Transport Authority, I would recommend that you implement a policy, and if it is be above your pay grade, then the Minister of Transport and Mining, Mike Henry, implements such a policy that, or the whoever it is, that once you are caught, once a company, one vehicle, you know, one vehicle, it's not, you're not going to get no warning, it is clear. If you are caught as a part of a hackney carriage company with a white plate operating as a hackney carriage but representing XYZ taxi company, then the vehicle is seized, there are criminal sanctions, but that company also loses its license to operate for 2 years as well as its directors. I'm not joking this thing out. I'm not serious. We're not serious about cleaning up crime and corruption in Jamaica. We're not serious and bringing a sense of law, order, and discipline to the streets of Jamaica. Because by doing this, you're actually, a lot of what the police work in this area would be eliminated, and then they would be their resources and productivity would be put to better use somewhere else. Right? And as I'm on that, I really would like to big up the Jamaica Constabulary Force. I'm not going to lie, for the last couple of weeks driving, or the last 2 weeks driving around Kingston and St. Andrew, the corporate area, I feel protected, I feel served, and I feel reassured. I do. I see them out in their numbers, including superintendents and deputy or assistant commissioners. I see them out in their numbers. I see them directing traffic. But I also see them interacting with the public, you know, and I really like that. I like the new look. I don't know. I don't know if it's a new directive from the acting commissioner. His name is on the tip of my lips. I wonder if producer Sanjay Lewis can help me. It will Clifford Blake. Acting PC Clifford Blake. Right. So I welcome it. I applaud it, and I ask my listeners to obey the traffic, the traffic signs, the traffic lights, and the road code. Obey them, because the Traffic Act is supposed to be to be debated in the Senate next week, Friday. So I would suggest, or this coming Friday, this Friday coming. So make sure you know the new laws that are coming, and make sure you do what it says you're supposed to do, right? I would also, before I leave this, I would also want to point out, though, that we still have a problem with not only taxis, you know, both robot and route taxis overtaking a line of traffic and driving on the sidewalk, especially on East King's House Road, driving on the sidewalk, overtaking a line of traffic and driving on the sidewalk. But motorists. So I don't want the police to just tell them to go back in line, give them a ticket, and make sure that they feel it in their pockets. Because this is, to my mind, when people feel it in their pockets, this is when they will understand that we mean business. Plus, it is more money, more revenue for the government, which means that we don't have to pay any new taxes, right? So I am all for that. Listeners, before there was one other thing I wanted to talk about before I move on. I wanted to talk about a 50% decline in rape cases since 2013. A police report, 50% decline in rape cases, but it is what is the number of cases reported to the police that has been the declining, right? What I would be more interested in is the rate of prosecution. How many men are prosecuted successfully and found guilty having been charged with rape? How many? And the reason why I ask is, you know, because listeners, there would be a correlation if it is that women feel like they would not get justice in our legal system, in our justice system, if they find that their case will not be litigated in a timely, and this is very important, listeners, because you don't want to prolong this kind of crime, which is such a violation of your personal space and who you are as a person. It's not something that you want to revisit and to tell to a bunch of strangers in a courthouse, and also have to face cross-examination by defense counsel, right? Which is their job. That's what they're doing. They have to make sure that they defend their clients vigorously, because at the end of the day, the burden of proof remains on the prosecution. But having said that, listeners, what I want to know is it that the report, the decline, the number of cases of rape reported declining, is a direct result of women just not reporting because the prosecution rate is the successful rate of prosecuting rapists are not high? Is that why? That's what I'd like to know, right? And that is why when people throw numbers and statistics, I want them to not just throw it out, but do it in a context. You know what I'm saying? Do it in a context so that we can talk about it. And we can discuss it, and then we can come up with reasoned arguments or reasoned conclusions. All right? So listeners, let's move on. Tomorrow is the by-election in Northwest St. Andrew. With, according to today's Gleaner, with more than 40,000 registered voters in St. Andrew Northwest and the Norman Gardens Division. Anybody remember that it was a by-election in Norman Gardens councillor? Because the councillor had resigned, no member of parliament for South East St. Andrew, Dr. Angela Brownberg. So it became vacant, if my mind serves me correctly. So according to the Gleaner, 40,000 registered voters in St. Andrew Northwest and Norman Gardens Division in East Kingston will tomorrow go to the polls in a by-election to elect a new member of parliament and councillor respectively. However, the spotlight will be on St. Andrew Northwest, where more than 30,000 people are registered to vote for the Jamaica Labour Party's Dr. Nigel Clark or the People's National Party's Keisha Hale. The seat became vacant following the retirement of Derek Smith, who bowed out of active politics in January after 29 years as MP. Now, all I will say about this, and of course the polls open tomorrow at 7 a.m., and closes at 5. Personally, I just want to see the margin of victory for Dr. Nigel Clark. I struggle to understand why the PNP would have put up Akeisha Hale against Dr. Nigel Clark. I think someone like a Dr. Alex, Dr. He ran against, you know, the not Jamaican. I don't believe I forgot his name. I think I'm getting old, listeners. Who ran against Dr. Norman Dunn. Not necessarily Dr. Alexis, but maybe someone with his kind of profile would be better suited for that constituency, for the constituency of Northwest St. Andrew. I think when the parties, and this goes for both the Jamaica Labour Party and the People's National Party, I think, listeners, that when you put up candidates, you really need to look on the profile of your constituents and the personality and the background and antecedents of your prospective candidates to see if they are the best fit for that particular constituency, because no two constituencies are the same, and certainly some of the needs and nuances of a constituency, of a Northwest St. Andrew constituency, is not the same as Central Manchester or East Hanover or West Portland, and certainly the concerns would also be different. Right? So I would just say, listeners, that I would want the parties to think about to that. Right? And going forward, just think about, well, clearly to my mind, the JLP thought about who they wanted to represent, and in their mind, Dr. Nigel Clark would be a good fit for the constituency. So I have no issues with that. I just don't think that the principal of Padmore Primary, Ms. Keisha Hale, I just don't think she is a good fit for that constituency. But having said that, I want both candidates to bear this in mind, and even though I expect Dr. Nigel Clark to prevail at the poll tomorrow after 5, I would like to say, though, that persons in the constituency have said that, among other things, they have lived in the constituency for 29 years and 29 years of promises from Derek Smith, and they will not accept that from either Keisha or Nigel. According to Mark, a resident of Marverly in the constituency, anyone they vote for will have to perform, or me and my friends are going to push them out when the next election comes. Yes, Mark. I agree with you. That is what we want. Perform or perish. Simple. Perform or perish. You cannot. And that is why I've said this time and time again, listeners, on this show, you know, I don't believe in safe seats. I think that you should go out, perform, and earn the votes. Earn them. Work for them. Right? Said Mark said me a Labour writer, me always vote for Derek. But right now, I better me a look for me and me youth then. So if that mean me have to vote for PNP, then I saw. Because me not take no more promise. Yes, Mark. If Dr. Nigel Clark does not provide measurable improvements in the constituency, in the areas identified by himself with consultation with all the residents in Northwest St. Andrew, then vote him out the next election. I'm serious. This is where we have to get to. And you all know, listeners, so all of us know we talk about is how Andrew going, so yes, I'm a member of the Jamaica Labour Party. But that means, that don't mean, say, that if you don't perform, I'm going to hug it up and say, yeah, a shower. We say, no, that's not how it works. How would that help the people, the constituents, the residents of Northwest St. Andrew? That don't help them. Eh? Listen to this. Listen to this part. In recent weeks, senior members of both parties, including JLP leader Prime Minister Andrew Holness and former PNP President Portia Simpson-Miller. So warm to the President of the People's National Party and opposition leader, Dr. Peter Phillips. Anyways, have swarmed the constituency in an aggressive ground campaign. Residents have also seen sidewalks being repaired, potholes stuffed with marl, and renovation work started on some roads with others being promised, but that has not been enough. According to Jelani Grant of West Main Drive in Marverly, he has never seen so many politicians in one place in his entire life of more than 20 years. What there is something I wanted to talk about. And it shows why I don't agree. Again, this really illustrates why I don't believe in safe seats. Listen to what a one resident, Douglas Doggy Bell, that lives on Sherlock Crescent, says. He says that despite years of representation by Smith, nothing was done to Sherlock Crescent, where residents have traditionally voted overwhelmingly for the JLP. Yeah. Because these politicians who are in safe seats on both sides of the divide, JLP and PNP, right? So we're not going to do nothing because they're not going to vote for we. We need to mash down that lie. I keep telling you, voters, you have the power. You need to change that narrative. If it is that you, they are not performing, then vote them out. According to Bell, we burn out Dwayne Smith when him come down here with Dr. Clark. If he was working in all the areas, we wouldn't have a Nigel Clark. You hear that? Okay. This era used to be called Little Tivoli because it is the belly of labor rights support in the constituency, and they didn't do anything until now, declared Bell. You see what I'm talking about, listeners? You see what I'm talking about? That is why I do not agree. I do not believe in safe seats. And I believe that, and I really think that Jamaicans are getting more savvy and more informed about the political process and about good governance. I really do, you know. So I await to see the numbers, but as I say, I expect that Dr. Nigel Clark will prevail. And still on the politics, listeners, I see where Chairman for Life, having resigned as chairman for the People's National Party last year, has now resigned from his constituency of Northwest St. Catherine. So the People's National Party is to hold a selection conference later this month in the constituency of Northwest St. Catherine to choose a new caretaker candidate for the seat currently held by former long-serving chairman and cabinet minister Robert Bobby Pickersgill. The choice is between businessman and head of Paramount Trading Company, Hugh Graham, who is also the councillor for the Lowesdale Vale division in the constituency, and as well as former Member of Parliament for North Eastern St. Elizabeth and PAP Deputy General Secretary Raymond Price. Listeners, my money is on the rich man, the businessman and head of Paramount Trading Company, Hugh Graham. That's where, plus he's a councillor, he's there. Well, according to a poll, according to his supporters, by the results of a poll conducted, they don't say who did the poll or whatever, but I'm going by the report in the Observer, Sunday's Observer, today's Observer, between February the 9th and 16th. Oh, I'm sorry, it's said that the report was done by Don Anderson's Market Research Services Limited, and it indicated a huge lead for him over Price. According to the figures, 23% of those polled were in favor of Graham, with a significantly lower number, about 8%, supporting Price. I would have to look at the number. You know, I would have to look at the numbers, and because I do know that Mr. Pickersgill's numbers have been shrinking in the constituency. But I await to see which gentleman will prevail. But as I said, I'm going to call it now. And I think it is my considered opinion that Mr. Hugh Graham will prevail. So I have been watching, as I'm sure a lot of my listeners are, because we want to stay informed, right? And if you can't watch it live, certainly you can go on YouTube and watch it, delayed broadcast, of the Standing Finance Committee budget debate. And I was watching with the Finance Ministry, the opening with the Finance Ministry. And the questions were being asked by members from the opposition. I think Julian Robbins, no, I'm sorry, the opposition spokesperson on finance, Mark Golding, asked about $750 million that the finance minister Audley Shaw had committed in Parliament. It was either last year or early this year, but I said no, it was last year, committed to Parliament that would be used to clean up the voters list, because we need a re-verification exercise, listeners. It is something that is needed for good governance to ensure that our electoral system remains robust and have the necessary checks and balances to mitigate any fraud that would be perpetrated against the system and the process, which of course, you know, weakens the democratic process. So during the whole questioning at the committee, the finance minister informed us, Audley Shaw, that the money that he had come to Parliament to say was there is in fact not there, because Cabinet had made the decision, and of course he would be overruled by Cabinet for the money to go into fighting crime. As you know, the Ministry of National Security got most of the budget. I spoke about the budget not last week, Sunday, the week before, and I did a breakdown of the different ministries, and the Ministry of National Security got the bulk of the money, in my mind, as it should, as well as justice, which didn't. Education, of course, got the second biggest, and I don't have an issue with that. Two things. First of all, the opposition spokesperson on finance, Dr. Mark Golding, made a point, and I agree with him, that first of all, when a minister speaks, it is expected that he speaks with the authority of cabinet behind him. But yes, but having said that, true, I agree. But also remember that policies and plans change in any government, in any business. These things happen. What I fault the Minister of Finance with Audley Shaw is the fact that he did not then come to the Parliament and inform the Parliament that Cabinet has now taken a decision to move this money, so it's no longer available for the re-verification of our electoral system, into fighting crime, which every single Jamaican would agree with. I think that it is disrespectful in my mind. What shocked me, listeners, let me tell you, it shocked me, my mouth was on the floor, was when the leader of the opposition, someone who should be responsible, Dr. Peter Phillips, basically got all dramatic, like drama queen Peter, and said, if we cannot rely on the words of the government, if the people cannot rely on the words of the government, and if they cannot get basically justice, I'm paraphrasing, in the parliament, we will take it to the streets. What is the opposition leader saying? Is he saying that he's going to start street protest because the monies that were supposed to go to clean up the voters list is going to be used to fighting crime when we're dropping like flies in Jamaica, and when a lot of resources are needed to shore up not only the national security but also the justice system in terms of the courts, in terms of our police stations, but also in terms of procedures and policies, making sure that the monies are there to retire those corrupt cops. Is that what he's saying? I think he has lost it. I think the opposition leader has lost it. I think he's becoming desperate, because my information is that an internal poll was conducted by the PNP on behalf of the PNP by Don Anderson, and it shows that Andrew Holness is leading by double digits. He's leading by, I think, 35 points. Peter Phillips. So clearly he's getting desperate and he's grasping at straws. But I would caution him and tell him that at this time, Jamaica, not at this time, any time, Jamaica deserves a thoughtful, robust, robust and responsible opposition, because the opposition is there to ensure that the government, whichever government it is, don't overstep their bounds, right? So please, no street protest, nobody that is irresponsible and tantamount in my mind to trying to destabilize the government. I urge the opposition leader to stop it. Stop it. Be responsible. That is what we expect from you with your years of service and experience in the political in the political process. And quickly before I go, listeners, you know, sometimes attorneys really give the profession a bad name. I see where attorneys who are defending and have defended policemen in the so-called death squad cases have sent the bill to the Ministry of Justice. I'm sorry, listeners, it's not a joking matter, but you know, sometimes Jamaican people say, "Me take bad things make laugh." $9 million on average. $9 million enough for one murder case? And then a vibes cartel them I represent. But because of taxpayers' money, right? They think, I don't even know what to say about this. I think it's unethical. And I know people are saying, but Andrea, you can't tell people what to charge for do them case. You can't tell an attorney what to charge. I agree with that. But the average cost for a murder trial, the average, is about $500,000, $1 million. Yeah. Depending on the complexities of the case. Now, I have been following some of these cases. It's not like you needed to get in experts, DNA experts from all over, and you need experts to talk about gunpowder residue and experts to talk about telephone technological experts. These are basically straightforward murder cases, if a murder case can be said to be straightforward, listeners, right? So you now explain to me how you come up with the $9 million. It sounds like hold on and take away business. No, I don't appreciate that. And I call on the Jamaican Bar Association to send a strongly worded letter to its members and to let them understand that they're doing the profession no service, which has taken a black eye in recent months with the disbarment of several prominent attorneys, including Harold Brady and Michael Lorne, right? To rein themselves in and to understand, right, that it's taxpayers' money paying these bills. It's not the government. Who is the government? The government is the people, for the people, by the people. You understand what I'm saying, listeners? So, I'm about to get out of here. I'm going to go a little bit over this afternoon, just a couple more minutes. Before we leave, listeners, as usual, remember, what can you do in your neck of the woods to make Jamaica a better place? To make your community, your immediate space, a better place? When you go to work, do you go and say, how can I add value to my organization today? If you go to school, how can I be my best? How can I, every day, listeners, we must win. As Jamaicans, every day I win, we are win. You see me? Every day. Go out. There's so many things that you can do. I believe in volunteering. If you don't have a citizens association in your area, in your community, start one. If you don't have an environment club, start one. See if you can go to find out where's your nearest police station, go there, talk to them, find out what the needs are. Maybe the community can come together and do a fundraising and do something to uplift the police station or the clinic. What I'm saying is, listeners, in your immediate space, in your community, you can make a difference. It just takes one. There are a lot of golden age homes and children's home, right? I see at my daughter's school, one of her four classmates, my daughter is 6 years old, right? One of our schoolmates, rather, raised money with a bake sale to help the Wortley girls' home that was burnt down on Constant Spring Road about 2-3 years ago. She was 4 years old at the time. Oh, no, I have no excuse. Right? No excuse. And I would like to, as I said to you before I go, think about how you can make Jamaica a better place, because that is what I do. Always, every day. And that's why I do this show, The Advocate. Volney, I want you to know that One Radio is in good hands. Until we meet again, my friend, walk good. To my studio engineer and the producer, Sanjay Lewis, thank you for guiding us at The Advocate through this 1 hour. And listeners, until you hear my voice again, this is your advocate, your voice. One love, Jamaica love. Blessings.
Under the tree with a glass of lemonade, jumping at the river when me ready for bed. No boy can buy me out, me no foreign minded, no way compared to Jamaica. Jamaica love, we wanna feel Jamaica love. Everybody. Everybody wanna visit Jamaica. Jamaica love, Jamaica. Jamaica love. We wanna see Jamaica love. That one that represents the citizens of Jamaica. Jamaica love, Jamaica. Represent for your